Look, Montreal cops should be outfitted with body cameras. They should be. I mean, most other jurisdictions, we see police officers that are, you know, outfitted with a thing and they're on and the protocols are all there in the right place.
Not in Canada, Egbert.
Not in Montreal. But I'm saying that that's only part of the game. That would not guarantee a change in the relationship between police officers and marginalized groups such as black people, indigenous people, poor white people, and people with mental issues. It's not going to guarantee anything. What we need is a cultural shift. We need officers to be trained to behave properly around these groups. Not to target them, not to see them as suspect, not to kill and injure them who are the least opportune time. Look, the challenge here is accountability. Unless we're going to hold police officers accountable, we're not going to see any shift. In this case of Mari Camara, we know that the police officers, they bungled that investigation significantly. They put a guy in jail for six days without proper investigation. They can't know if a guy just shot a police officer. They can't figure that out from initial investigation. No, it's a shift in cultural behavior towards marginalized groups. That's what we need. We need more accountability. We need those investigators to be held accountable. That's what we need.
The great Egbert Gay on the Big Five with Elias Makos. Yesterday morning, we learned of the tragic passing of the founder and editor of Montreal Community Contact and longtime CJD 800 contributor at the age of 67. Tributes have been pouring in, of course, here on CJD 800, of course. On CTV as well, and on social media, the enormous outpouring of testimonials about the great contributions that Egbert made to our community across the board. We are now going to take some time to remember Egbert. And right now, I'm joined by social justice and anti-racist strategist Kemba Mitchell. You've heard Kemba on Second Breakfast with Andrew Carter in the morning show, and she's on right now. Kemba, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kemba, you sent me such a moving email yesterday afternoon about Egbert. What did he mean for you?
Egbert, he was like that proud uncle in your family that you could share anything with, knowing that he would listen, give you that space, and that piece of advice that you can choose to take or not. It was just, we've had a couple of really early morning conversations, and I'd just be on a rant about something, and he would just have the ability to calm me down and put things in perspective, and it's so difficult to know that you don't have that person anymore. So, yeah.
And what, from your perspective, I mean, what was Egbert's contribution or his legacy in terms of the black community here in Montreal?
Well, he created a platform by us, for us. And this paper became this huge resource for the Anglophone black community. And he literally captured the essence of Montreal for us and biweekly. And he gave a lot of writers and journalists, black writers and journalists, an opportunity and a platform to share their voice when many doors, particularly in mainstream media, were closed. And he was just not afraid to speak out on any injustices. And he was not afraid. He was not intimidated. It was what it was, you know, and nowadays we talk about this code switching and some people feel the necessity to, you know, switch with their mannerisms. And he absolutely did not. How you heard him on the radio is how you heard him in person. He was unapologetic. And this is something that really, it was really inspirational because it's very difficult especially in, you know, in the community, to be able to just be your authentic self and be respected for that. And so he showed us it is possible. He did it every chance he had. So I really, really, really respected that. And he was a mentor, a mentor to so many. And when I'm watching social media, and everyone was impacted by his authentic love for us and the community.
And moving forward in terms of Montreal and the community, the Black community, and on issues that he was such a fierce defender, you know, Black, obviously Black rights, racism, systemic racism, and social justice just in general. I mean, moving forward, I mean, what do we need to continue? I mean, what needs to be done in terms of making sure that his legacy is respected and honored?
Well, the community contact is the legacy. I think that definitely that I have no doubt that it will continue. I think because that is a platform that has been used since the 90s. And I would encourage those who were touched by him to you know, pick up that baton and continue what he's done for the community. And I also would hope that, you know, mainstream media would allow for voices like Egbert to be heard, right? Because the community contact is great, but through platforms like CJAD, I mean, just think of all these individuals that are listening and tuning in and looking forward to his take on political matters and whatnot. So I think that it's going to be a community effort to keep the legacy going. And but I have no doubt that his family and the community will do our part.
Kemba, I really appreciate your testimonial this morning, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Kemba Mitchell, social justice and anti-racist strategist, remembering the great Egbert Gay.
Most Quebecers are wanting good government, want rapprochement with the rest of Canada, with the rest of Quebec. I think that should be, it should be a message to the CAQ that, you know, really, you know, we might be overplaying our hands in terms of promoting French and at the expense of other Quebecers. So I see this move towards the Canadian Francophonie as a sort of wayward symbolism that you know, and that's playing towards 8 or 10% of the population. I think at this point they should take heed and go towards better government and serving all Quebecers.
Welcome back. Remembering Egbert Gay, who left us over the weekend at the age of 67. David Hertel with you, filling in for Elias. I am honored, actually, to be speaking to our next guest, who worked for many years with Egbert on CJAD 800, Wall of Fame, CJAD 800 host Tommy Schnurmacher joins me. Tommy, thank you so much for taking the time.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm still recovering from the shock of it. You know, I fully understand the concept of denial when someone passes away. I found out about yesterday morning. Laura Casella sent me a text about it, and my first reaction was, "No, like it can't be. It's an error. It's a typo. It can't have happened. Like it's impossible that Egbert is no longer in the world." It took me a while to just get around the reality that the first stage was that total denial, and then just being overcome by real sadness. Such a great guy. I disagree with him politically on everything, but we were dear friends for years and years, for decades. And what's very interesting is about Egbert is, when he wanted to accomplish something, when he wanted to get something done, that something always happened to be, by coincidence, something for his community. I mean, what mattered to him was his family and his community. And he had very strong political opinions. And I think that over the years, having known each other for as long as we did, what happened is I moved him slightly towards the center for the left, and he moved me slightly left because of his sheer pure decency. In other words, he held his political beliefs because he felt this would be a way to better the lives of many people, of all kinds of people who may have been left out. It was a very sincerely held belief. And like I said, we accomplished that important thing of being able to be close friends with people with whom you have serious political disagreements.
You're so right to point out that he moved you a bit on the political spectrum, because the same thing for me. I mean, by debating with Egbert, he made me see things differently and changed my mind on certain issues. So that's a fantastic point, a great compliment to him. Take us back. I mean, take us back to your show. How did you meet? What was the context and how those famous debates transpired?
Okay, well, how we met. We met on the street. A mutual friend, Bob White, introduced us, and he said, this is a really bright guy. This is Tommy Schneermacher. He's on the radio. And I thought, this is terrific. I started talking to him and finding out what his opinion was. Well, it was completely opposed to my opinion on many things. So I asked him to come on the Gang of Four, and it was wonderful. And we instantly had two things going on. One, we disagreed with each other on everything instantly. Like, we wouldn't agree that today is Tuesday, right? But we got along very, very well. And I could always count, like, there would never be a situation where, you know what, the Gang of Four, we got whatever this topic is, we're all going to agree. That never happened. With Egbert there, if I was there and Egbert was there, the two of us, universal agreement around the table, can't happen. Wouldn't happen. Never happened. So, and I would look forward to it. I would look forward to jousting with him on a regular basis. Again, because, like, I'd be very angry because he said this, that, or the other thing, but that would be tempered by the fact of why is he saying that? You know, like, what's motivating the man? And what was motivating Egbert Gay throughout his entire life was kindness towards others. Like, I mentioned this story about somebody who was in hospital, and their caregiver was a big fan of the show and a big fan of Egbert. And so a relative of the person who she was caregiving for said it would be wonderful if Egbert would come and visit. And that person knew me. They called me. Do you think that would be possible? Would Egbert come to the hospital to visit this patient and speak to his caregiver, right? And I said, I don't know. I'll ask him. I asked him instantly. He said yes. And it was on a Sunday morning. And he made some people, like, beyond happy, absolutely thrilled to meet him. He was charming. He was wonderful. And all this on a Sunday, like an early, the only occasion, possible time to do this was like early on a Sunday morning. Like, it's his day off. He worked extremely hard, you know, with the stuff he was doing on radio, with community contact. And he didn't say, let me think about it. May instantly, yes. And there he was. And he made some people very, very happy. But that was just very indicative of what he was like. I was lucky enough to have Egbert and his wife and his son, Imar, and his daughter-in-law come visit me in the country on Labor Day, actually. And we had just such a spectacular time, right? Mm. And when you think about it, two people who are, like, politically different, like, you know, have different views on many different subjects, but we got along, the two of us, that doesn't mean anything. Thoroughly enjoyed each other's company, is more like it. It was way beyond getting along. And that was because he was such a, you know, it's like a, sounds like a cliche, but it's so true. He's like, he was just such a great guy to work with, right? He was fun. He was professional. He was interesting. He'd have viewpoints that you'd never thought about in a certain way. And also, he was a very nice guy, like a great friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, for the couple of minutes I have left with you, Tommy, legacy. I mean, what do you hope will live on, will continue from all the great things that Egbert contributed to our community?
I think the legacy will be with community contact. You know, like, I mean, community contact is Egbert Gay. Egbert Gay is community contact. That'll stay, like, you know, no matter what. And I think that will be his legacy. He established that. He kept it going. He worked very hard at it. And, you know, one day, I'll end with this little story. I went to visit him at his office, and his receptionist had to go for an appointment. And I said, you know what? Let me take over. I'll take over. I'll handle the phones, right, at community contact for an hour while you go. You do your appointment. So I answered the phones. I'm thinking, you know, people call, you know, pitching story ideas or maybe wanting to take an ad, et cetera. All of the calls were people who needed help of one kind. Could they be directed in this direction? Who should they go to if they needed help with this? Who should they go? It was like a social work agency. It was like there to help people. This is newspaper. Mm. This is community newspaper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to kid him. I said, you've got to – I said, I know it's very wonderful that you're helping everybody, but you also have to spend some time on getting the ads because for him, for Egbert, helping the people in his community and in the general community was more important than the ads. I mean, this was not a materialistic, Egbert Gay was not a materialistic guy, right? And helping others was who he was all about, and helping others is the legacy of Egbert Gay.
Tommy, thank you so much for coming on. It was a great pleasure, great honor to speak with you
on a sad occasion. You're doing a fantastic job.
Oh,
the good work
coming from you. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on the great Egbert Gay. Thank you so much. Tommy Schnurrmacher, remembering Egbert Gay. I'm going to add something. I mean, ever since I left politics in the past few years, a lot of people have been asking me and here on CJD and elsewhere if I would be willing to contemplate a return in politics. And that's always been very flattering. And some of you, the listeners, have been texting me and even on air, sometimes callers say, oh, why don't you go back in politics? I got to say, the one person that got me thinking about maybe returning was Egbert Gay, because every time I had a moment with him, he would look at me straight in the eye the way this man could do. And it was unique. And with the strongest tone, yet so respectful and so friendly, he would say, "You have to run for politics. You have to go back to politics. You have to run again." And coming from him, and it's more a testimonial about him and his the way he approached things. It was just a fantastic man, and coming from him, it was such a compliment, a high compliment. I took it so much like the highest form of compliment because it was coming from Egbert Gay.